charging along and you're doing well, you don't really think about it, but then, you know, the music stops. And I found myself with $555,000 of debt.
From MoneyFit by DRS, it's the MoneyFit Show, your weekly podcast about real difficult money stories, overcoming financial obstacles, and tips for building healthy money habits. I'm Todd Christensen, host of the MoneyFit Show podcast, and on today's show, I'm speaking with the author of the Cashflow Cookbook about some of the 60 small recipe changes you can make in your life's cookbook to save hundreds or thousands of dollars a year to put toward debt reduction or wealth building. Oh no, it wasn't the income, it was spending killed the budget. Gordon Stein is an international keynote speaker, blogger, personal finance expert, and author of Cashflow Cookbook, $2 Million of Financial Freedom in 60 Easy Recipes. He delivers transformational talks that help people crush their number one stress, their finances. And so it is my pleasure to welcome Gordon Stein to the MoneyFit Show. How are you doing today, Gordon?
Just doing great and wonderful to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Now, I mentioned to you earlier that I start off with a question for each of my guests. So if you're ready, here it is. Did you always want to be a public speaker and focus on finances even?
I love public speaking. I love helping people. So that was always in my mind. And I never did much with it until early retirement, at which point, I'd written the book about Cashflow Cookbook, written about personal finance. Uh-huh. And there's a lot of demand for speaking on the topic. So I've been out and speaking on it ever since.
How often do you get out and probably not as often as you want to, but you enjoy visiting all over it's not just the US and Canada probably too, right? But elsewhere?
Yeah, mostly US and Canada. And these days, given COVID, a lot of virtual presentations that I do. But quite a bit of travel.
Now we adjust to the times, we have to.
That's right.
I do want to get to your cash flow cookbook. I love the idea of the recipes. But first I wonder if we could kind of talk about the path that that you took to get to becoming an author of this book. And maybe start back in, I think it was 2003, and how you ended up going this direction when you were actually at that time going in another direction. Can you give the audience, give our listeners kind of an idea of what was going on back then?
Yeah, sure. I was a high-tech sales, marketing, and operations executive for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. And, doing really well by any measure financially. Mm-hmm. And I went through a period where I had just received an Office of the Chairman Award, and they had tripled my stock options, and I just bought a new house. Mm-hmm. This was in Canada at the time, and just couldn't be riding higher. And then there was a series of events that happened. The company had let go of our head of HR, who I had a great mm-hmm. relationship with. And not long after that, the head of finance was also removed from their position. Mm-hmm. And so it went. Our lawyer then did an assignment in India, and my immediate boss, who was the president, moved into a different role. Mm-hmm. So I had no one in my team. And a new president had come in from Europe. And as often happens, he brought his right-hand person with him. And all of a sudden, I was out of a job.
Right.
And when you're charging along and you're doing well, you don't really think about it. But then, the music stops. Right. And I found myself with $555,000 of debt.
Half a million dollars in debt.
And this was during the tech wreck, as it's sometimes called, the technology recession.
Right.
And the technology industry was pretty much all that I'd ever done. Mm-hmm. And I was out looking for a job. And I remember going out to some search firms to speak with headhunters and see if they could help me find a job. And they were empty. And I said, where are all the people? And they said, we had to let them all go.
Wow.
And it was just this, really dark time and not a terribly long severance package to work with, because I hadn't been at this company for that long. Mm-hmm. And, I was up at, I think I got up at 6:30. I ran 5 kilometers a day just to steady my nerves, and I hit the phones. And it really put finances in a different view for me. You know, I had a significant burn rate and I'd established a lifestyle, but I never really thought about any kind of trouble trying to sustain it.
Mm-hmm. As long as the income was there, we weren't looking too far down the road then, or?
That's it. And, you know, this kind of thing happens at all income levels. You know, there's people who are earning $50,000 a year. The music stops for them for whatever reason. Could be medical bills, could be they lose a job. You know, they have to look after a relative. It happens to people who are earning, you know, 10 times that. But in all of these cases, you know, it's important that your financial position is in good shape, because anyone at any income level can find their circumstances change dramatically. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, a bit of a wake-up call. But I'd always been interested in personal finance. I'd done a lot of reading on personal finance, but that really brought it to a sharper point at that point.
Mm-hmm. What was one of those early changes in your approach to money at that time that do you recall making any immediate changes or something like, we've got to do this differently? Did you have a family at the time or?
Yeah, I had a family. We had a house, a vacation home, you know, two cars, you know, so there was a need for a lot of change. But, you know, the second big thing that got me thinking, and it had happened a few years earlier, and I think I mentioned it in my notes to you earlier, Todd, and I was driving to a party with a friend, and he saw a car wash receipt in my car for $13. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, why would you spend money on car washes? And I said, well, what would you do? And he said, well, he's got a loyalty card from a gas company. Yeah. And, you know, you swipe it when you buy your gas and you save up the points and you check online and then you can get these free car washes. And at the time, I thought, well, that's, you know, I'm not going to go through all that for a free car wash. And, you know, I was earning quite a bit of money at the time. But then I started thinking about it because I had time on my hands, right? And so I went out and I got this set up with this car wash thing, and it's trivial. You know, it's $25 a month. Yeah. And then I got one for my spouse, $50 a month of savings. Uh-huh. And then on the radio, I heard this discounted home alarm monitoring company. And so I called them up, and indeed they saved me $25 a month on my home alarm monitoring. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, this is so interesting. Here's $75, minimal effort, minimal sacrifice. I didn't give anything up.
Yeah.
And that's what sparked my curiosity. And I said, geez, I wonder what else there is. Mm-hmm. And that led to about 2 years of research. And I built a list of these kinds of ideas. Criteria was, you know, saves $25 a month or more, minimal effort, minimal sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And the list grew and grew, and it added up to $13,000 of monthly savings ideas.
Wow. That's monthly.
Monthly.
So, I mean, that's at times 12, you're 150. Yeah. That's a lot of money, right? That's right. A lot of money to everybody. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, $25 a month, big deal.
Right. And then I calculated, hey, what would this be worth if you took this money and invested it 7% over time? And of course the answer is millions.
Right.
And I take it to my accountant and I said, okay, what's wrong with the math? What did I miss? And he said, you know, he checked it over. He said, no, he says, the math is good. He said, this would make a great book. Mm-hmm. And Cashflow Cookbook was born. And the ideas in it, you know, you can use if you're in good shape financially, you can free up more cash flow for more investment. But if you have debt, it's almost even better, because this will show you how to free up even more cash flow to pay those debts down faster.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think extra money. Their first thought is extra money to spend.
Right.
But that's the kind of the mindset that a lot of us have been in. I, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I got my first credit card, and I thought I thought it was free money. Yay, a $2,000 credit limit. I maxed it out overnight almost. And but there's other things we need to stop and think about doing with that. So you're talking about investing long-term or paying down debt, saving, I guess, for emergencies and so forth.
Yes.
You mentioned what I guess a lot of people would call a coping mechanism, that you would go out regularly every morning and run. Is that always been a habit of yours, or did you rely on that more during that difficult time?
Well, you know, I like any kind of physical exercise, and you know, along the way I've run 3 marathons. Mm-hmm. And I just find for everyone's different, but for me, from a stress reduction perspective, you know, being in that situation, having a fixed number of months to find a job in a ghastly recession,
right,
and, you know, with a significant burn rate that's not that easily changed, you know, I just needed something to lower my stress level and sort of calm me down. And then I would do that in the morning, and then that would, you know, get me, it would be calm. It's hard to be anxious when you're tired from a run.
Right.
And so that would get me calm. And then I would just hit the phone and I would just call and call and call and, you know, book interviews and meetings with people and coffees with people. And anyone who's been through that kind of a job mm-hmm. hunt, it's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
And particularly, you know, during that kind of a period. So, yeah, the running was a good mechanism for me. It calmed me down, let me get centered, and let me focus.
Well, I like that idea of that you're too tired to to be anxious, and so basically allows you to have that focus. That's good. I think that's something that anybody in any kind of stressful situation needs to have, some sort of steadiness or something to help them focus on that,
on their so.
Challenges. Tell me, I mean, you got recipes. Do you have a number for how many recipes you got in your book?
There's 60 recipes, and okay. each of the financial recipes has a little story or a little vignette. And those little stories are being asked, they have another idea in there. So depends how you count, but I would say there's 120 financial recipes, and mm-hmm. each of these is an idea that saves money, that frees up cash flow. And I want to stress, these are actually ideas that you can use. You know, sometimes right. I read some of these personal finance books and they're talking about making your own cleaning supplies, or, you know, putting tinfoil in your windows to read. There's none of that.
Okay.
If I wouldn't okay. do it, it's not in the book.
Right.
So these
right.
are often things that people don't think about. They don't realize. And there's a better way of buying a particular item or commodity. And I really focus on the monthly recurring costs, because mm-hmm. that's what really makes a difference. You know, if you go out and you splurge one day and you get great concert tickets or something, it's a one-time cost. So you spend whatever, $300 on some concert tickets, over your lifetime, that's not going to make a difference.
Right.
But if you're, you know, if you're overpaying on a monthly recurring bill by $50 or $100, that will make a big difference in your finances over your lifetime.
Yeah. What was one of the early the recipes that you put into practice going through? I mean, you mentioned the car wash. Do you remember mm-hmm. some others that you early on that you started relying on?
Yeah, I mean, there was one that's actually relatively recent, and it's a good example of something you just wouldn't think of. So I was at my doctor's office, and she prescribed me with some pills. Cholesterol lowering pills, pretty common mm-hmm. medication. Mm-hmm. And I did what everyone did. You know, you walk into the doctor's office and invariably there's a pharmacy that's right nearby.
Right.
So I went to the pharmacy and I said, okay, this is a prescription. I need to get these pills. And I said, by the way, how much are they? Well, it turns out they're $107 a month.
Ooh, okay.
And I need to take these forever.
Right.
And now some people have, you know, may have a drug plan as part of their health insurance, but not all, you know, health insurance covers all drugs. So this is applicable no matter what your situation is with the health plan. So I said, well, that's kind of a lot of money. And she said, well, you could get one of our drug cards. I said, well, what's the drug card? She said, well, if you get the drug card, then they're only $63 a month. Okay. And that drop really surprised me. You know, I was waiting to hear about 5% off or 10% off. It goes from 107 to 63. I said, well, how much is the card? And she's $20 a year. So, you know, there never was a no-brainer. I was quite right. pleased with myself. Like, if I get the drug card, I'm down to $63. And I happened to be out for dinner with my brother-in-law, and I told him the story. And he listened. He said, oh, no, no, no. He says, you don't want to do that. He says, you want to go to this online company. GoodRx was the one he mentioned. Mm-hmm. And you just put in your drugs and you check the price. So I did that. And these things vary all the time. So right. a particular drug, one may be better than the other, particular situation. And right. I think it was somewhere like $16 a month for these drugs on wow. GoodRx.
Wow.
And I thought, wow. But, you know, because I'd gone from 107 to 63, to 16, I thought, you know, you got to keep going. So I did some more research and I found a company called Blink Health. And this particular drug was $7 a month delivered to my house. So not only am I not driving to the pharmacy to get it, but these pills just arrive like clockwork. I get a 90-day supply, comes to my house for $7 a month. So I did a blog post on it on Cashflow Cookbook, and I called it, you know, how I save 96% of my prescription drugs. And, you know, that's something you wouldn't even think of. You walk into your doctor's office, you go to the pharmacy that's closest, you hand them the prescription. You're not going to say, is there a cheaper way to get it? People don't often think of that. But it's a great example of the ideas that I gathered, and you can see just how powerful it is over time. Now, if you save $100 a month, you know, that'll add up to $17,300 over 10 years. And if you were able to do that and invested at 7% for 40 years, that'll get you $262,000 in retirement.
Now, that brings up an issue that I've seen when I talk to people about spending less. You know, one thing I clarify, like, you're not saving money, right? I mean, you're spending less, but you're not coming out of the store. You know, they go to a sale, they say, I saved 50%.
Right.
Do you have that much? Is your money in your savings account, or you just spent less? But we'll spend less. But that's not that. That's the first step.
Right. Exactly.
Your next step, you said, you know, you got to turn around and do something with it. And you mentioned the obvious one of investing. But a lot of people might think, oh, it's just a lot of work to turn around and actually go do something. You know. Turn around and figure out, okay, I just saved $40. Now, what do I do with that $40? I mean, what do you tell somebody who figures out, okay, I can spend less. Now I just want to spend it somewhere else.
Yeah, I think the whole point, I think of it as like gamification. Mm-hmm. So in my book, I lay out, you know, a series of steps. And I think the first one to do, and I call it broil a bill. That's Cashflow Cookbook. So there's lots of cooking pots.
Right, okay.
But you want to take a bill and broil it. And in this case, you know, there's pharmacy drugs. It could be car washes. There's dozens of things. We can go through lots of other examples. But once you get that savings, and what you want to do is you want to, I call it savor the savings. And by that, I mean, do something productive with it. So you're quite right. In this case, you know, I was happy to spend 107 and I have the money for 107, but I'm only going to spend seven instead of 107. Well, that's $100 that I would have spent. So I would lock it into something. And first step is I would say, okay, you know, how significant is my debt? So if I have a lot of credit card debt, for example, at 20% or more, there is no greater priority. No one's going to get you a better rate of return than 20% after tax, which is the same thing as paying down credit card debt. So I would immediately, if I was in that situation, up my monthly credit card payments by $100 and cease fire, obviously, on the spending if you've got credit card debt. But here's a way to get out of that. Or you could lower, you know, your gas bill, your electricity bill, all of these things are in the book. So that would be the next thing to do. And then I think what's really key to change your headspace that you're talking about, Todd, is to start tracking what I call your wealth, which is simply the difference between what you own minus what you owe, and that gets your wealth. And sometimes people say, well, that's going to be a negative number. Okay, but you're going to improve that negative number. And I think to start, it's really worthwhile to track that every month. And if you do that, then you're going to see, okay, interesting, I'm paying down this much of my mortgage every month, and my house is increasing in value over time, and, you know, my cars are depreciating. So you're going to start to see, what does that picture look like? And that bottom number is really important, because it can change everything. If you can, you know, grow that wealth number, well, you could retire early, or you could take a year off, or you could, you know, you're getting out of debt. You now have options, you know, you're going to have things you could borrow against. So I think if you do that, that changes the mindset from, oh, I've got some money, how much can I spend, to, hey, I'm really building something here that's going to give me a lifetime of financial wellness.
Yeah, I think that that's key at what you say about changing the idea of being a consumer, consume, spend, use, get rid and waste, to building wealth, growing your assets around you. It's not just a change of activities. It is a change of mindset, what you say.
Well, it's exactly it. And, you know, you go from this notion when you're in this consumer world and, you know, having worked for lots of companies, they're unbelievably powerful at getting us to spend money. You know, we're right. desperate to get to the new iPhone or look at these jeans on sale or, you know, mm-hmm. we're always getting bombarded. They do MRI, functional MRI studies to figure out what words will get us to buy. You know, and we're just consumers. We're powerless almost. But if you can change your headspace from, hey, I've got, you know, $60, I can go get, you know, this thing at the mall.
Yeah.
You know, the way I look at money now is, you know, as an example, I hold some dividend stocks. And some of the dividend stocks that I own, these are shares in companies that pay out a dividend mm-hmm. Every quarter. And one of the ones I hold, they just increased their dividend by 10%. Hmm. So I'm here, I'm playing my guitar, I'm kayaking, I'm riding my bike, and the money just rolls in. And every year, they're going to give me more money. Mm-hmm. Well, and with that money, I can do whatever I want. And if I'm patient and I let that money grow, I can buy as many iPhones or, you know, jeans or whatever it is that I want, because I get my money working for me. And even right. when I'm not working, that money just keeps on working. So the gamification in my head has evolved from, oh, I've got $50, I can go spend it, to saying, hey, I've got $50, I get one more share of that stock that pays a dividend, and it's going to buy me a lifetime of financial freedom if I can just let it get to start working for me.
Yeah. I think I love the idea of your money working for you, because most of us, we're working for our money. We have to go to work. We punch in the clock. We have to do what our boss tells us. We are working for money. If we don't work, we have no money. Versus at some point, we've got to switch that around and say, what am I doing to make my money work for me so that I can be the one sitting back and calling the shots? And that's good. Okay. So now I got this warning. I normally tell people, when I going through some of my classes, you know, don't shop when you're hungry. Are they going to have trouble reading your book when they're hungry? Cause it sounds pretty delicious.
But you know, I don't think so. And you know, in the book, it's interesting. I start off with, it's almost like a bit of a novel at the beginning. We're able to look over the shoulders of this couple and we can start to see, you know, all of the things that they're doing. They start making some of these moves that we've been talking about. You can actually peer over their shoulder mm-hmm. As they do it. And then, you know, sometimes when I'm speaking, people will say, well, you know, I don't have a taste for that recipe. People sometimes say, well, that was an idea to save on car insurance. I don't have a car. Yeah. Or people say, oh, well, you're talking about, you know, ways to save in your home. And I just rent an apartment. I can't stress enough, whatever level you're at, these same principles apply. So you may add or subtract a zero depending on your situation. You know, somebody who is earning $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, there is a way to free up cash. I'll guarantee it. Mm-hmm. There'll be a way to get something that you pay for every month. There is a way to get it cheaper without haggling. There's no yelling. There's no screaming. There's no giving up things. You can just get a little bit smarter. And to your point earlier, Todd, you take that money as soon as you free it up and you can invest it in a bond. You can mm-hmm. pay down some debt or you can do whatever it is. And whether you pay down debt or whether you're investing in something, both of those things are going to accelerate that wealth number. It might be getting it from negative. Maybe you're in debt $50,000 or $100,000 when you consider everything. Or maybe you've got $200,000. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever your situation is, you start to free it up and you put it to a good cause, paying down debt or investment.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that at any income level, you can be doing this. There, whether you're watching or reading the media or talking to different groups, you may have heard people say, oh, you know, I don't have enough income. I don't make enough for it to matter. And, you know, I think we would probably think along the same lines that for most households, I mean, there are some that would be exceptions, but for most households in this country, we don't have an income problem.
That's totally. I mean, there's a great example. I wish I could remember his name, but you can Google it. There was a Vermont janitor and he died a little while ago and he was a janitor his entire mm-hmm. life and his estate was $8 million. Oh, wow. Wow. And he saved and he put aside money, invested in blue chip stocks. He only bought things that he could afford, and he retired with $8 million.
Yeah.
Now, that might have meant if he wanted to, he could have retired with $2 million at the age, 20 years earlier, perhaps.
Yeah. 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 So that's a good point. We're approaching the end of this discussion or conversation. I've really appreciated your time, Gordon. And, is there one more recipe that you'd like to share before I ask you for a specific piece of advice as well?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. One that's quite interesting is there's some great tools now for online shopping of car, of car and home insurance. And this is something you can literally do in about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. When I tried the car insurance shopping, there's a site called Insurify. There's one called Zebra. And there's plenty of them. Enter in your data. It took me about 15 minutes. And the difference in car insurance for me was a swing of about $340 from the most expensive to the least expensive. Take you 15 minutes.
Policy, per 6 months or per year?
That's monthly.
Wow. Oh, wow. Monthly. Okay.
Try it. $340, ooh, I think, was the difference between them. Wow. A month. Nice. So now we've got, there's my mother-in-law, my wife and I, so it's three cars and three drivers.
Yeah.
But I would be willing to bet that pretty much anyone would do it as a single person, and you'll find a swing of $100. So there's a great example, 15 minutes, $100, get that freed up and right away paying down debt.
That's basically, $100 saved in 15 minutes. That's a $400 hourly activity right there.
Well, you know what? Don't forget though, over 10 years, that $100 is going to grow to $17,300.
That's just for the 1 month. Yeah.
Right. So, over 40 years, which is, a career, that $100 will grow to $262,000 and it took you 15 minutes. So you can do the math on that.
I like it. I like it. All right. Do you have one more piece of practical advice you'd like to share here today, Gordon?
Boy, you know what? There's so many of them. I'll give you another quick kind of fun example. My son's a keyboard player, and he was going to a music teacher to help him with his keyboard playing, and he was spending about $200 a month. And then he found a site called Piano Pig, which is a great online piano classes. Mm-hmm. And you can, he can rewatch lessons. He learns all kinds of advanced things that all of the lessons are laid out. And it's something like $200 a year.
Uh-huh.
So instead of paying $2,400 for music instruction, he pays $200.
Yeah.
So there's something that frees up $2,000 a year. He tells me he gets a better experience than he was getting from his actual piano teacher. Uh-huh. And so there's an example of a paradigm shift kind of a thing, a completely different way of doing something.
Nice.
So these things are literally everywhere.
All right. Well, you're giving me a lot of ideas for my own kids and my family.
Great.
I will be putting a lot of these links in the show notes to make sure you check our listeners can have access to it. Howard, if our listeners wanted to reach out to you or learn more about your book or about you, where can they find you online?
Sure. Best bet's probably to go to cashflowcookbook.com. And there you're going to find all of my blog posts and a little bit about the book and what I'm doing. And in addition to that, there's a section called ingredients. And ingredients is all of these suppliers, these websites that do insurance comparisons and online music, all of these things are in there. And there's another section called utensils. Warned you about the cooking puns. There's a section called utensils. And you can, you can download scripts of what to say to your cell phone company to get your bill reduced. And we've got wealth tracking sheets in there. You can download templates. So all kinds of information there. And you can get the book, Cashflow Cookbook, is available on Amazon. And there'll be a US and a Canadian edition there. So that's available that can be helpful.
Great.
And if you want to connect with me directly, if you go to the website, you can find out how to reach me. If you've got a question or an idea, I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Gordon Stein, thank you so much for joining me today on this conversation. It's been good to have you here.
Todd, a real pleasure. Great discussion. Thank you.
Well, for our listeners, thank you also for joining us. I'd love it if you'd Check out our podcast archives at moneyfit.org/podcast. And we'd appreciate it greatly if you would subscribe to our podcast here. Until the next time, though, stay money fit and stay well.